Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Noah, and as always, I am joined by my co-host,
Kayla.
Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film. I'm just joking. You're not stuck in a time loop.
Aww.
That was funny. That was a funny joke. We're back. We're ready for another fun-filled episode full of laughs, life lessons, morals, and all that other good stuff, you know, ending with a nice Bible verse at the end. How's your week been?
It's been pretty boring, to say the least. I haven't been up to much, but
nice, like it.
I did see Puss in Boots.
You did?
Two.
You were a fan.
The new one. I was a big
fan.
The
new one, right. It wasn't like you weren't rewatching the old one.
No. It changed my top 10 ranking, so...
Man, one week afterwards, already out of date.
To the next episode, but...
Man. Where did you end up putting it?
Okay, so I put it at 2.
Okay,
so
under Batman.
Yep, so it's right under Batman, knocked out Top Gun Maverick.
Tom Cruise.
It's hard to say because I've seen Batman twice, and I only saw Puss in Boots once. So I felt like I need to see Puss in Boots one more time.
To make it a true competition.
Yeah, but it was a hard decision. Like, I spent all evening thinking about this and trying
That's
to decide if I should put it at number one or not. And I also spent a lot of time thinking about whether or not it should have been a 5-star or 4.5-star. I ended up not giving
That's
it a star
worst.
Rating because I was like, I need to see it again. And I have to say, the only thing holding me back from a 5-star, and this is going to sound really silly, but I'm telling you it's important, is John Mulaney playing the villain.
Me?
Because I just, like, anytime he spoke, it pulled me out of it. And maybe that's just a me thing. I don't know. But
we were talking about Andy Samberg the other day doing all, like, those roles, and he was in the Chip and Dale movie, which John Mulaney was also in, and that also was something where I was like, this just sounds too much.
Yeah, like, I do think
someone I know.
Yes, I think it's hard with comedians specifically playing voice acting roles. We talked about this with Bad Guys and Awkwafina, is that a comedian's voice and their inflection of their voice is so important to the way that they use comedy that their voice becomes their brand, essentially, especially for someone like John Mulaney, who uses his tone to his advantage in his stand-up. And so I feel like when you listen to his voice in this...
He uses his tone and his transphobia to his advantage in his stand-up. It's really the bread and butter of his stand-up at this point.
That was my main complaint, which really is just a personal... I think he was a fine cast. Like, I don't think that he did a poor job doing it. But the whole time I just was like, damn, John Mulaney. At least he was playing a villain, which kind of helped. But it did pull me out of the story a little bit because I just kept thinking, John Mulaney. But it was phenomenal. So it rocketed right up my top 10 list. I knew I should have seen it before.
It gave Top Gun the boot.
I did. I knew it. And I told myself multiple times, I was like, oh man, I'm going to love this movie. And for some reason, I just never took the time to go see it until the other night. So sorry to all those out there who have been telling me to watch The Puss sooner.
The Puss in the proverbial boots. The titular boots. Let's get into our last week's question of the week answers. So last week we did our episode on there were 2022 movies that we liked, some of our top 10 rankings, and then we also looked ahead to the year in movies, so some of the movies we're looking forward to. So we decided to ask everyone listening what they were looking forward to see if maybe they had some of the same on their list, but also some different ones. So I'm going to go through our Twitter ones first here. Robbie said Barbie with an honorable mention to Evil Dead Rise.
Okay.
I gotta say, seeing the Evil Dead Rise trailer a few times in the theater does not look like my bag. Looks like just not something that I'm into. But if that's what he's excited for, if that's what they're excited for, then sounds good. It just looks like every other horror movie I feel like I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Have you seen the trailers with like the mom?
Yes, because this was the movie that
is this the one?
This was when I was when was, we yes, when we watched the Meg or recorded the Megan episode, there was a movie I was talking about and I couldn't remember what trailer it was for the movie that this kid in the theater was like, "Oh, mom, can I see that?" And the mom was like, "No, we'll see." But like it was this movie, and I remembered it because AMC does this thing in the app that you can look at movies you've seen in the trailers that played before the movie.
Oh, that that's kind of cool.
In the app.
Even though, like, I feel like I've seen them all, but.
Yeah, so that's a cool idea. It reminded, I was like, I looked at that, and I saw that they played the Evil Dead Rise trailer. I think it looks bad, but if
I feel
someone
like
is excited
I,
for it, I think good for them, you know?
I mean, I've seen the three of the Evil Dead movies. I haven't seen, like, the newer one. But I just don't know what makes it Evil Dead. Like, it feels like I had no idea what the movie was, and then the title came up. I was like, oh, I guess this is an Evil Dead
movie.
Yeah,
like, it feels like another just horror movie.
Yeah.
But they...
With a scary, like, woman with,
yeah,
like,
but they named
dead.
It Evil Dead Rise.
They were like, we'll do the Evil Dead. So, but maybe it will be the best movie that comes out in 2023.
I don't know. I feel like the problem with horror movies these days is they show too much in the trailer. Like,
the
I felt
trailer,
like I got the whole
so
movie
long.
In the trailer.
It's such like a long...
Yeah.
It's such a long trailer. Do you remember that movie that came out last year, The Invitation? Where it was, like, the girl...
Mm-hmm.
And that movie literally showed, like, the climax of the movie. I never
saw
it, but I just know that that's the climax.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix now.
I did see the trailer.
I've already seen the movie. That was one of the worst trailers. Godjester on Twitter said, Gremlins 3.
Ah.
We kind of forgot about that one.
Is that come... Well, I didn't know that it was actually set for this
year. Yeah, I don't know. It's... Right now it is. December 15th, 2023. But we don't have, like, really anything on it.
Okay.
Like, at all.
I mean, if it is, if it does come out this year, that's exciting. I was under the impression that this was still just kind of like in the development.
Yeah.
Sphere.
Kind of like I thought
kind
that
like
Legally Blonde 3 was. 3. But we found out yesterday, Reese Witherspoon talked about it for the first time in a long time. So it looks like we're on the up and up with Legally Blonde
3. I think Gremlins 3 could be fun. So.
Yeah. I like I'm a Gremlin guy.
I don't know if it's going to come out this year or not, but if it does, that would be a fun time in December. So
yeah, definitely a fun December movie there. And then lastly on Twitter, we got Suburban Emo Dad writing in. And they said, Bo is Afraid. Looks ambitious, like something Charlie Kaufman would write. Hope it's good. Yeah, I mean.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. I don't. The Charlie Kaufman thing, I'm just like, I mean, basically any you could say that probably about any movie that was like.
A little trippy.
Looked like it was a little, yeah, trippy, exactly. And, like, I don't understand, like, going through multiple timelines, not, like, everything doesn't seem right with the world. So it could be something, but I feel like that's also, at least for Midsommar, it was, like, kind of the vibe there a little bit. But we'll see. Ari Aster definitely expanding his horizons a little bit more with this one, so we'll see how it does. What did we get over on your end?
Yeah, let me bring up Instagram here. So Jamie Howard said, who is a co-host on the Bloody Broads pod, who's on our Megan episode, she said Scream 6 and Bo is Afraid. So both of those horror movies for her make sense.
Is Bo is Afraid a horror movie? Are we saying that's a horror movie?
I think it's technically horror thriller.
Leans
both. I don't think it's as, like, horror, like, because obviously Scream's a slasher, so that's, like, full-on horror genre.
On Wikipedia, it is called a surrealist comedy horror film.
Okay.
So, take what you will with that one. sounds a little, like, a big Ari Aster fan got on here and was like, this is actually what the
genre is. Yeah,
I feel
like it leans
so
horror, but,
this.
Like, also thriller vibes.
Yeah, it definitely seems less horror than his other ones, but it probably will have some of the elements.
Danny said, can you guess what he said?
Well, I saw the answers, but so he said he definitely said Dune 2, but then he said like another one, right? To be
He said obviously Dune 2, but in an effort to be less predictable, let's say Fincher's the killer, which I feel like
it's another not in the same vein as the Dune 2. Yeah,
to me,
very similar fan bases for Dune 2 and the killer.
I feel like it's totally fine to be predictable and say Dune 2 because I think Dune 2 is gonna be one of the best movies of the year. So
is Danny a Mank guy? Is he on the Mank? Is he on the, in the Mank hive? I'm looking up.
I don't know. What it,
I'm
what,
looking up Mank. We're looking up.
What is Danny's Fincher ranking? We've never talked to him about Fincher movies.
He gave Mank 5 stars. All right. We're good. Cool. Great.
I knew that you
love
and Danny,
it.
Both Mank heads.
Big
he seems like a Mank head.
Mank is the new blood. What is done? Isn't that in The New Flesh, that's what it is in The Crimes of the Future. The New Flesh is Mank. All right, who else do we have on Instagram?
Hunter said Across the Spider-Verse, of course.
Yes. Speaking of which, I'll just throw this one in from Facebook because Kevin also said Across the Spider-Verse. So,
and
so
we
big
have,
Across the Spider-Verse excitement.
We have another one. Noah Hewitt said Indiana Jones 5 and Across the Spider-Verse, which makes sense. Indiana Jones 5 will probably be one of the bigger summer movies, but Across the Spider-Verse.
It will be good, though, is the question.
The trailer was fine, I thought. Like, the trailer didn't make me any more excited for the movie, but I didn't watch the trailer and think, wow, this is going to suck. You know what I mean?
I never even watched the trailer. I'm not gonna lie.
I watched
it.
I think they played it in the theater in front of something.
I haven't seen it in the theater, so if it played there, I would watch it, but
I'm trying to remember.
Definitely not one I'll seek out. I'll just
I don't know. I think it looks fun. Like this isn't on my list cuz I don't really care. But I'll go see it. And then Andy of the Alamo Winchester Film Club said Go West, which is
another movie I've never heard of. Let's see.
It's the new movie from one of the directors who did the Stop and Go movie. And it stars the two, Mallory and Whitney, who were on our podcast to talk about Stop and Go.
They were.
When it came out. So they are in this movie and helped write.
Okay,
like, they co-wrote this movie. So it's kind of their production, the production company, their new movie that comes out this year.
I searched Go West 2023 and I got the Go West Summit, which is a business conference. So I don't think that
I'll
was the
read
right
you. I'll
one.
Read you the, okay. the sentence summary.
Perfect.
A crazy group of pioneers brave the harsh elements and numerous mishaps to travel thousands of miles out west to find a place to call home. But it's like a comedy, so it looks very, I've seen the trailer, it looks very goofy and like silly. And
I wonder if they go west in this movie. That's really what I want to know when all is said and done.
And then we have one more answer over on Spotify. Mike said, did not learn my lesson from last year, so Scream 6.
You know, obviously we didn't either.
We didn't either.
I put Scream 6 on mine.
We're both excited for this movie, even though we've said it before, notoriously very anti-Scream 5.
Sorry to the Scream 5 fans, but like I said in the last episode, I like New York. Like, I feel like that could be a good angle, having it in, like, a different setting.
And we like
I think
Jenna.
I think Scream 3, a lot of people don't like Scream 3, but I think I liked at least the aspect of it where they were, like, in a new area. You know, like, in the big, like, in a Los Angeles city.
Fresh.
Yeah, so I feel like this could be a good call, like,
and
getting away from the main town.
I do think it's exciting that this franchise is getting a reboot. I'll say that much. That even if I didn't like the movie, I'm actually all for Scream
multiple
and
Scream
ghost faced.
Yeah,
continuing. Because I do like the first Scream a lot. And I think Ghostface is fun. And I think there's a lot of fun you can do with it. So, like, I'm fine with the series continually, like, movies being made. I'm, like, here for that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it will be hopefully a good time.
It's one of the few, like, movie series that the movie didn't turn me off from the franchise. You know what I mean? which is kind of cool. Yeah. Like, just because there was a bad movie, I'm not like, oh, I'm not going to watch the next one. Like, I'm still excited for the next one.
No, totally. Yeah, I think it'll be, I think it'll be good. Let's then just jump right in then to the episode. So thank you to everyone who wrote in. We will have another question at the end of this episode. For now, let's go into our Groundhog Day history and fun facts segment.
Mm.
So we decided to do this episode firstly because the 35th anniversary, you know, and obviously it is like it was Groundhog Day a few days ago. I don't know. Did the Groundhog
35th or 30th?
30th. Probably. You're probably right. Let's see. 1993. So yeah, 30th because it's at even. So it's the 30th anniversary. Do you know if the Groundhog saw its shadow on
this year?
The second?
It did.
Yeah. So that means more winter.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Cool. Don't like that guy anymore. So we just decided, you know, what the heck? We'll talk about it. We did this kind of last year with When Harry Met Sally, just a movie we wanted to talk about. I mean, we technically have more of a reason to talk about this, I guess, since there is
it was just Groundhog Day, and there
and
is
it was Groundhog Day.
But it was still one that, like, we kind of just threw it out there, and then you were like, oh my god, there's an anniversary, and it was like, oh great, like, let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it will, I think it's good, and I really like this movie. It'll be good to talk about, and was a lot of cool history behind it, which I will relay to you now.
Great, because I know nothing about the history of this.
I didn't either until today. It's wonderful. Wikipedia is a crazy invention. We have Danny Rubin, who is one of the screenwriters. He originally wrote this as a spec script for him to get meetings with other producers, like to just do other work. And so he took a loose concept he had about a man living the same day over and over and developed it a little bit more. He just opened a calendar, apparently, and picked the nearest holiday, which was Groundhog Day at the time. And he thought the date had some story potential because it was recognized, but it didn't have, like, a lot of huge attention. So it was, like, a date that people knew, but also, like, there's not many other Groundhog Day movies to be competing with, you know. The script eventually came to Harold Ramis, who then went about changing it a little bit to make it more dark and less dark, sorry, and more comedic, because Harold Ramis is more of, like, has more of that comedy background. So they went back and forth a lot, apparently, about a lot of these things. The original ending of this movie was that Phil breaks the loop, then he confesses his love to Rita, and then the perspective gets shifted to Rita, and she rejects Phil because she's not ready for love and gets trapped in a loop of her own. And that was the original ending. And so that was, like, an example, I guess, of, like, how it was a little darker, you know? It was a little bit more, like, of the philosophical side. And, like, the script opened in the middle of the loop with him waking up to the alarm, and it kind of, like, you figured it out along the way. So Harold Ramis's edits definitely made it a little bit more of, like, a palatable film for a wider spread audience, you know?
Yeah.
And just also probably from reading some of the old script, just, like, more watchable, because some of the dialogue, like, that they changed was the original dialogue was really bad that I read. The filming was not very fun for two reasons. So the one reason was that weather was really cold.
I believe that. It looked cold.
It was like a lot of days just in the 20 degrees, like,
yikes,
as a high.
And they were outside, which is not, a lot.
They were always outside. And then there was a lot of Bill Murray was actually, like, just overall not great on this set. But mostly,
isn't he notoriously not great on sets?
Yes, but the biggest conflict was between him and Harold Ramis, who was also the director, because Bill Murray wanted it to be focused more on the philosophical elements, and Ramis wanted it to be more like kept wanting to do more comedy and romantic elements. So, like, their visions for everything kind of didn't match for all the scenes. And that ended their big collaboration. So they had a lot of movies together before this. And they reportedly didn't speak again until shortly before Ramis's death in 2014.
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty tough.
That's
pretty
horrible.
Tough.
Didn't they mostly do comedies together, though?
Yeah, they did, like, Ghostbusters. What was the other one? They did a few, right? Caddyshack, I think.
Uh-huh.
Did they do Caddyshack? I think it's like, I don't know, maybe he just liked maybe Bill Murray read one of the earlier scripts before, because they were adapting it too, like, as they went. So like the script was changing as they were filming. So maybe like when he signed on, he liked it for more the philosophical elements,
Sure.
and then they were leaning more. I do think, as we'll discuss with the movie, like it's one of the better parts of it, just because like I like the push and pull kind of thing.
So when the movie came out, it was a critical and commercial hit, got multiple nominations, won the BAFTA Award for Best Original Screenplay, and since it's only like kind of grown in esteem, so it was selected for preservation in the National Film Registry in 2006. In 2016, it was adapted into a musical, which I did not know.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
So there's a musical of it apparently, and I sent the trailer to you for a VR video game sequel made in
Yes.
2019,
Which is
called
so wacky. It's
Groundhog
like.
Day, like father, like son. If everyone that's listening to this has to pause and watch the trailer for this game, because it is so bad.
Yeah, it looks really horrible. I kind of want to play it though.
Yeah, it looks like one of those like really cheap like point and click games, but then they were like, what if we did this for VR instead? Like we just
Yeah.
put it in VR. So it's stars Phil's son, Phil Connors Jr., real original name there. He grew up in the shadow of his beloved father. Phil Jr. becomes trapped in his own time loop and is forced to help others and improve himself to earn his freedom. So basically it's the exact same story, but with his son. Don't understand why they made it, but I thought it was funny. Okay. So, in the spirit of our little casting options thing we sometimes do, I will have you guess who some of the other options for Phil Connors was. Were,
Okay.
yeah. So there are three main ones, and they're all four of these are big names. So there's three main ones, and then one of them is like he wasn't really considered, but he was thrown as an idea. Like the original screenwriter wanted this one, but there's three ones
Okay.
that were like actually auditioned and like tried out and stuff.
Okay, so we're talking 1993. So Tom Hanks.
Yep, Tom Hanks was the first choice apparently,
Okay,
but
makes sense.
he said that he thought because he usually played like good characters that it would make the ending of the movie too obvious. Like
Sure,
everyone
that's a
would know
good
that event,
point.
everyone would, which I was like, wow, good for Tom Hanks for like
Yeah,
understanding the
for
story, you know?
self-awareness.
Yeah, I like it.
Robin Williams.
No, Robin Williams. It would have been good. It was a good idea though.
Let's see. Probably someone who is more like comedian, I would think.
Yep.
Steve Martin.
Nope. You're in the right vein though. Yeah, well, more comedian of the time. Think maybe movies that
John
Harold
Candy?
Ramis, not John Candy,
Ah,
other
damn.
people that Harold Ramis and Bill Murray had worked with before though.
Okay. Let me think of who they worked with.
In a quite a big film.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the names of those people in Ghostbusters.
Not in Ghostbusters.
Oh, in Caddyshack then?
Yes.
Who else was in
Yes.
Caddyshack? It's been a long time since I've seen that. Chevy Chase? Is Chevy
Yeah,
Chase in that?
Chevy Chase is the one that they wanted for Groundhog Day.
Okay. So I've
And
gotten
then the
two.
th got the two, and then the third one is still decently big now, and we like this actor. It's someone that you like.
It's someone I actively like now.
Yeah, it's someone that I feel like you're excited like when they're in a movie, you know, and like you enjoy some of their performances. At least that's what I think.
Okay.
That's what I mean, I think. I'm just trying to give a hint. I don't know.
Not Tom Cruise.
Not Tom Cruise.
Okay, I didn't think
Think
so.
more, think for multiple reasons, think Wings. There's like three different reasons I could think
Wings.
of to think of Wings, kind
Wings.
of. Well,
Like airplane wings or like
I
bird wings.
would say bird wings more like the bird wings.
Bird wings. What? Like someone who played Batman.
Yes, yeah, okay.
Michael Keaton?
Michael Keaton, yeah. I was also thinking Wings because he had Birdman, and also in Spider-Man he plays
Yes,
Falcon.
I do like
So
Michael
some
Keaton. Yeah, I
I
do.
know. So and then the other one that the other writer wanted was Kevin Kline, which I
Okay, I
was
wouldn't
like,
have
okay.
guessed that. Sure.
Yeah. But pretty big names, right? And then apparently though they went with Bill Murray. It's interesting that he wasn't like an one of the first choices because I feel like he seems like pretty fit for the role. But it's also like you don't know how much it was rewritten as it went for his character. So it's hard to tell.
Kevin Kline wouldn't have been horrible in it. I think that would have been a similar performance.
No, yeah, I mean,
I think all of those would have been fine.
Those would be good. Tom Hanks would have just, they would have been different movies, you know?
Yeah,
Chevy Chase would have probably been the more, Chevy Chase would be the most like the movie it is now.
Yeah.
And then the other two would have been like.
Michael Keaton would have been fun. Maybe I would like it more if it had been Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton stepping in water all the time?
Yeah.
I like Michael Keaton. I hope he's doing well today.
Well, wasn't he in that Jared Leto movie, Morbius?
Oh, yeah. Was he? Oh, yeah, he was in the end credits. You're right. Yeah. That's a tough break. But he probably got a good amount of money for that.
I wonder what he's like doing one these scene. Days. I wonder what he's in next. I don't know. I am excited about things he's in, but I don't, like, follow his career.
You know the Founder? That was a good movie with him as, like, the McDonald's owner.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that.
He's pretty good in that. I like that movie. It's like a low-key, like a good 7 out of 10.
Oh, no,
you know?
he's in the Flash.
Oh, well, he didn't know. You know, like, he didn't know. Well, so he's supposed to be, wait, is he going to be, like, the same character in The Flash?
He's Batman.
Oh, he's Batman in The Flash?
I guess. That's what Letterboxd says.
What is happening? What is going on?
I know nothing about that movie.
the last piece of fun fact. So the duration of Phil's real-time entrapment in the time loop, I'm just reading this, has been subject to much discussion.
Sure.
So Ramis once said he believed the film took place over 10 years.
Oh,
Then
heavens.
There was a blogger. A blogger estimated that it was actually about 9 years. But then Ramis came back, disputed both of those. So not 10 years, not 9 years. Because he said it takes about 10 years to become good at something. So like ice sculpting in French. And so you have that and you allot for some of the downtime, a lot of the stuff. And he said it's probably like 30 to 40 years would be the total amount of time that he was stuck in the time loop. Now, obviously, you can't always ever say. But I feel like 30 to 40 seems like accurate. For the amount
years.
Of stuff that he, the, for the amount of stuff that he had to do, like it skips a lot of like in between stuff, you know, and like it will quick cut to like he redoes the same thing like 5 times in a row, but that's 5 days, and then probably the majority of that time like was in this like just getting good at like piano and French and like all that stuff.
Yeah, like, and you think like if every single day he had a conversation with a different person in the diner. Or a different person in the town, then like that adds up too.
Right. And we'll get to this a little bit in the review, but I do think like the ambiguity is a good thing. Like what would make this movie really bad is if every time it changed like a day, they put like the day number
that
it was.
Day 394.
Day
5,212. Yeah, that would like definitely be not as exciting.
It would just not be good. So the other thing I wanted to share is I have a theory. So I Got You, Babe was chosen because of the repetitive lyrics. So like repetition.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, so it is in a 6/8 time signature. And that is very often known as a very circular time signature. It is often conducted in a circle. So, you know, that could be a thing you could read into, potentially, just saying.
Maybe there was someone on the team that was like, hey, I have a suggestion.
I got an idea. The music supervisor, like, guys, please, one thing. Is there any other, like, song in this movie besides that? Like, that's, like, the only, like, song, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe, like, when they're in the van, like, in the background. But I think that's, like, the main one. Okay, let's go to a quick ad break then. You know, why not?
Okay.
When we come back, we can just talk about the movie itself, our thoughts, our feelings, our musings. I don't have anything else.
And we're back.
All right. I have a bit of a summary here that I got from Google. Perfect. Which has been a theme this year. I feel like that's like this is the Google year of the Google summary for our podcast. Why don't you read this one here? We'll see how it is.
Okay. A cynical TV weatherman finds himself reliving the same day over and over again when he goes on location to the small town of Punxsutawney to film a report about their annual Groundhog Day. His predicament drives him to distraction until he sees a way of turning the situation to his advantage.
So the thing with this summary is I thought it was great until the last sentence. The last sentence like drives him to distraction.
Predicament? It doesn't say anything about the predicament. Just
and drives him to distraction feels way too vague. Like, I feel like they needed a little bit. I don't know. I was reading it and I was like, wow, this is one of the better ones I've read. But the last sentence, they really blew it.
Yeah.
At the end there. So this is, like we said, the 30th anniversary of this movie. So it's been out for a while, but I feel like 30 years is not like as long as maybe you would expect. Like, only 7 years before I was born, and like only, what would it be, like 4 years before you were born?
Yeah, what year did it come out?
93.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, honestly, it's been, I mean, obviously we're not like 5 years old, like we're, but I just feel like it feels like an older movie, or I think of it as an older movie than it maybe is. When did you see this first?
The first time I watched it, I mean, I feel like the first time I watched it recently, like that wasn't at some point in my childhood, was I think a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look at Letterboxd. Yeah, I watched it in 2019, August of 2019, and I feel like I watched it some point as a kid, because obviously I'm like familiar with the movie, but I don't remember having like an experience watching it as a kid. Like, I couldn't tell you when I watched it or what I thought of it.
Right.
So like the first recent time was a few years ago that I actually like sat down and watched it.
Yeah. Like as a conscious human being.
Yeah.
Like that you can remember the time when you watched it. I don't remember. I feel like it was like probably when I was like 16. I don't know. I just never watched this one that much when I was younger. I just don't think like we ever, no one ever that I knew like had it. And like, I don't know. It just wasn't like in the circle.
You weren't actively celebrating Groundhog Day every year?
No, I wasn't. Mm. So that was a big miss by me. But I have amended that. I feel like I think twice now I've watched it on Groundhog Day, maybe. I don't know. Or like 1 year I wanted to and then no one else wanted to. So maybe I didn't.
I feel like next year we should go to a Groundhog Day thing. Our town did one for the first time this year. They had their first annual...
Like a showing of the movie?
No. Like a Groundhog.
Or just a Groundhog
Day
thing.
They had a groundhog that like went and saw its shadow or whatever.
That's
like
fire.
The local wildlife place near here.
Why don't they just like stream... Why don't they live stream like the real groundhog? And like we put it up like the Super Bowl and like we put it on a big like projector.
I mean, I think you can watch it on TV.
I know, but I feel like with a crowd, you know?
I don't know.
You know how they do, like, those Taylor Swift concerts, but they're not Taylor Swift concerts. They're, like, they play her music, and they show,
like
movie scenes on the screen. Yeah, like a club,
but it's
for Taylor Swift.
But it's for Groundhog.
But now it's for Groundhogs.
It's Punxsutawney Phil, and everyone's, like, waiting for there's some kind of trap. Maybe a trap remix of this song, the I Got You Babe, and you're, like, waiting see if the groundhog sees
so
its
funny.
Shadow and then everyone's
and
like,
then it builds up like the beat
and then he comes out and he sees his shadow or not. Wow.
And then everyone's like boo. I don't know, unless people like winter.
I don't know. I don't mind. I don't mind having more winter because I want it to snow. It hasn't really snowed.
I just don't understand, where did this come from? How did this holiday exist is what
I'm
wondering.
It's a good question. I just think it's funny that they wear those silly outfits and they still do it every year. Like those people in whatever. Is this a real life place?
I don't know.
Where do they do this? I don't know. But they show, you know, the real Phil.
It's in New England somewhere,
and,
right?
Well, maybe we should go next year.
Maybe we should. Field trip to the place. Yeah, because they filmed in Illinois, so it's not filmed at the real place. But there is, I would assume, a real place that you could go to see this. I'm sure you'd have to probably book like a hotel pretty early though, because I'm sure that we are not the only people that would do that, think of doing that.
Yeah.
But maybe we are. I don't know. It'd probably be us and like all the old like locals, and they're like, "Wow, no one ever comes anymore, but we're love to see the support for the groundhog."
It takes place at Gobbler's Knob in Pennsylvania.
Okay, Pennsylvania's not bad.
Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Okay, Pennsylvania's not bad. We could make a pencil. We could make that work. That's a good bucket list thing to like go to the Groundhog Day celebration one time in your life. We should probably talk about the movie more than like actually.
Wow, that's the, only the 3 hours from me. I could have gone this year.
Oh man, meet every secondhand film critic meetup of like all the fans at the Groundhog Day celebration.
Gobbler's Knob next year. Great. February 2nd.
Yeah,
be there.
Mark your calendars, guys. Okay, so Groundhog Day. This is obviously a very like popular movie, and like especially like I think like screenwriting world, because a lot of like screenwriters really like this movie as like an example of how to write a screenplay. What do you think of this movie? Because I know you generally like it. As like,
yeah, I mean, it's it's not my favorite, but I do like it. I think it's funny, and I think there are good things about it, and I enjoy watching it, but it's not like my favorite movie, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think it's like a 3.5 for me, so 7
yeah,
out of 10.
Yeah, I think this movie's awesome. I don't think it's one that I could watch too much. Like, it probably is like a once a year at the most, you know, because it is like. They do a good job breaking it up, but it is a lot
it
of,
is
like...
Repetitive.
And especially, I think, less of the things that they're doing on screen and more of, like, the setting. Because, like, the set, it's always in the same place and the weather's always gray. And so, I think that's where the repetitive nature kicks in is... Because he does do a lot of different things and, like, goes through a lot of stages, but the setting always stays the same. So that's, I think, one reason why I don't think it's, like, as rewatchable as some other movies that I really like, but I do think, like, it just starts to, I think it's such a tight screenplay, like we said, but I also really like a lot of the performances. I think it's a great example of, like, an American movie, you know, like, a more modern American movie. If you had to, like, take, like, an example of an American comedy, I think it'd be a really good example of that, because I think it exemplifies a lot of like more positive like thing values that a lot of American movies tend to lean towards. Like, it's a lot more positive than I think, like we said, they changed the script to be more like a very structured arc. So I think like it just feels like a very like American movie, if that makes sense. And so I think that's like what's really interesting about it is it's like a very popular comedy actor, comedy director making like a very universal story, but the way that it's told is very like, I don't know, Western film theory, story theory style.
Sure.
Like it follows a very good, in a good way, I think. Like it follows like a really clear structure. And sometimes I like that, you know, you don't always have to mess with the character arc structure. To have a good movie, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it helps that it's so standard. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even though it does shake it up a little bit, like, with the whole, like, you don't really know what's going to happen or what he's going to do each day. I mean, obviously, unless you've seen it before. But, like, it does follow a very, like, standard character arc of, like... grumpy guy and he has to become good and like I don't know, like it's kind of that kind of structure that's very popular in Western movies or films and very clearly, like, I don't know, shows you the ups and downs, which I think happens a lot and is very standard to most, especially like comedy movies too. Like, it's pretty stereotypical of like a comedy movie like this.
Yeah, a lot of the same tropes you would expect in a lot of like the same beats are hit. One thing I think that makes it though, like, I don't think that's the one reason I am a little shaky on some of those other actor choices, because I think having Bill Murray as the main lead helps that with that, because he feels a lot more, he feels a lot less predictable as an actor. Even if you know, like, obviously they're going to pick scenes that are sticking with the script, I feel like you never really know, like, how he's going to present a scene. And so that, I think, really helps in making the movie feel a little bit more on edge. Like, if Tom Hanks was in this movie, I think it would feel way too, like,
on the nose,
cookie cutter. Like, yeah, it would be way too, like,
it would feel more comfortable, I guess. Like, yes. Because you, like he said, you know what's going to happen at the end then. But also, like, I think Tom Hanks can just kind of, like, it's hard to explain, but I feel like when you watch a Tom Hanks movie, you can just sort of, like, settle in and feel the comfort. But I think, like, with a Bill Murray movie, he's a little bit more edgy in general, but, like, his roles are kind of, like, you think of other things he would have done around this time, like Ghostbusters, but also, like, what's that one movie that
Meatballs?
He's in? What?
That was his first movie, Meatballs. He was a camp counselor.
No,
it was not very good.
What About Bob is what I was thinking.
Oh, I love What About Bob. That's a childhood classic right there.
Yeah, I watched that as a kid too. I have there's like one scene in that like somehow ingrained itself into my memory, but I don't remember any of the rest of the movie. But like something like that, you know, like he plays a more sort of pessimistic type. So, like, he's less predictable, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
That, like, he's an actor that plays characters that are less predictable characters. So I think it's kind of harder to determine where it might go or kind of how he's perceived in it.
Yeah, and I think that's why I was saying with, like, the push and pull of, like, the Harold Ramis and Bill Murray, because I think it is one of his best performances because he is able to do a lot of the things he's good at, but it feels a little bit like he's still in a box a little bit where it's like he can stretch the limits of the story, but he is confined a bit by like, it does need to follow a very predictable structure. Like he can't take things off the rails too much. I feel like there's some movies that he's in with like kind of like Caddyshack where it's like, it feels like too much, there was like too much rein given to some of these performers, you know? And I think like Harold Ramis as a director did a really good job of being able to like keep what makes him interesting and like a really funny actor, but also make it still feel like he was in control of the story, the director, you know? Cause I think that's a really key thing too. And it kind of goes with the character because the character is kind of rebelling against the monotony of everything. So I think it really ends up doing even though I've ruined their friendship, you know, but it worked for the movie and it works for the push and pull feeling there of him and then the rest of the story.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. You froze a little bit. So
what are some of your favorite like parts? Cause like the movie is segmented into a lot of different parts where like he'll go through different stages. I did read that they kind of loosely follow the like structured it around the five stages of grief. So okay. Like what is your favorite like moment of like his time loop, I guess?
That's a good question.
I know. I just thought of it on the spot, you know. It's what we do around here.
I don't know. I like the diner stuff. I think that's funny because I like the whole idea of him like learning all these things and all these people and then like having to prove it to somebody. Obviously this movie kind of did it like first, but that's standard for a lot of like time loop things that have followed. And that's like something that's always consistent with time loop things where they're like, oh, that person's going to trip. Watch this. Howdy, howdy, har. And the person trips and you're like, oh, what? How'd you know that? Like, I just like that this kind of like kicked a lot of that off. Because I think that's funny. And I like, I don't know. I think that those kind of scenes are funny. I mean, this is like a really short scene. But when he first is learning how to play the piano and he's like horrible and the piano teacher's like her expression as she's like standing above him reminded me of one of my piano teachers as a kid. I think that's funny.
Yeah, I really like the beginning when he first finds out about the time loop too, like the first like 15 minutes of the time loop, because I like him like I don't know. The first two days, I like him, like, he's still a little uncertain, so he's, like, checking a couple of things, like, asking people still. And then the third day, he punches the guy in the face because he's like, oh, wait, like, I can do whatever.
I like when he punches the guy. I think that's funny.
I just like his initial, like, ideas. Like, his initial ideas of what to do with this time loop are, like, to just punch the people that are really annoying and to, like, drive a car across the sidewalk. Just because I think it's very true to probably the experience of what it would be like. Because it's like, that is, I mean, especially for someone like him, like someone, the first thing you'd think of. And I like how he like figures out how to rob the bank car.
Yeah, I think that's like funny. That's something that I would do, honestly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Where it's like, oh, down door quarters. And then he just goes, gets the thing. That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I like all the little things, like the really small sequences that kind of just fit in to sort of build the story. Like, because I think mm-hmm. there's a lot of funny things they can do with it to sort of like show that time is passing and show the different like quirks of his character. I do like that he kind of goes like his character, his perception goes like up and down, where he kind of like, it almost seems like he gets hopeful at times, and then he's like, no, this is stupid, I'm gonna drive off the cliff after stealing the groundhog. So I feel like, I don't know, I think they do a good job like balancing all the different scenes and kind of like, I guess, showing the stages of grief, but also just showing his like ups and downs in it.
One thing I liked too watching it this time was all the little things they add to like establish how knowledgeable he is about that day. So like you said, the obvious one is the diner scene where they're going through and like talking to everyone and like, oh, this person did this, like that's a great one. But even like when he's throwing the cards in the hat and like you could tell like he's like, yeah, you just got to practice it for like 2 hours a day for like 5 months or whatever. So like those just the little things where it's like he spent 2 hours a day learning how to throw cards into a hat. And I think it helps too because it's a tight movie. It's only 1 hour 40, but it's able to like give you those images in your head of like how much time has passed, and you can feel that like kind of stuff without them having to always show him doing all those things, which I think is really smart.
Yeah, I agree. I think it helps because obviously if they did like they can't show all those things or it would like bog down the movie, so they have to find creative ways to like show that without it being too, I don't know, boring.
Yeah, gotta say the biggest bummer of this movie was the camera guy. He just could not win this whole movie.
Yeah,
he was really I felt a little bad. Isn't that the guy from Schitt's Creek, right?
Who plays Roland.
Mayor, right?
Yeah, he plays Roland.
He's really funny.
He is funny. I think he's a great comedic actor. And I think he's funny in this too. Like, I think he does a good job.
Yeah, I think like all three of them are play off of each other well because they all have different strengths, I think. And so they don't ever like impede, especially with Bill Murray, because I feel like that is just something that you have to be really, you have to just know who you're casting when you cast people with him. And so I think they did a good job like not casting people that were going to impede on like whatever kind of style of humor he was doing, but could like do other things that he couldn't do and play like different roles. Like, I really like Annie McDowell in the movie. I think she's pretty good. Like, plays her role really well.
Yeah, I think so too.
Her outfits are great too. So that was also a win. Like, all those, she brought like three sweaters. She wore like three sweaters in one day, I feel like, at one point. Like,
yeah, it's kind of funny because obviously, like, everyone else is the same in the time loop, but it's kind of like, I don't know, it almost feels like things change a little bit throughout it, and that, like, it's not really the same day, but it is. And I guess that's one of the things that, like, contributes to it is just because, like, they wear a different outfit or something.
Well, yeah, if they go to dinner, she'll wear a nicer outfit. Like, they just packed, for the amount of things that they, because they thought they were going to stay one night. Like, they packed pretty heavy for a night.
I guess, like, when you're a reporter, you got to be prepared for any situation.
Or they just didn't believe his weather report. They were like, this is definitely not true. We're definitely going to stay another day. What are some things some of the things that, like, you just would have changed, I guess? Or would have, like, done differently? If you were in the writer's room with these two people who obviously, well, three people at one point who obviously had very strong opinions about what they wanted their script to be like, I guess. You're the fourth voice.
Gosh, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, so my brain is kind of like not.
Well, is there, because you obviously, you don't, like, I really like, I don't think there would be much I would change. Even though, like, maybe you could. I just like the way, I like how it's very structured, like I said, in the way that they do it all. But what were the things that you would, like, just want to see different?
I don't know. I don't know that, like, changing things would necessarily make me like it more, if that makes
sense. Okay, so it's just the idea,
like,
of the
story. Feel like it's just all of it in general, which, like, obviously doesn't sound very specific, and people are probably going to listen to that and be like, well, that's not very helpful.
Well, it's like, it's not a casting choice or a script, it's just like the
concept
of the story.
Yeah, it's more like just the thing, the movie collectively as a whole, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, maybe if some things were written differently, like, I don't know, if I were to watch it and have different, like, maybe a day went differently or something, some of the dialogue changed in their, like, relationship or something, then maybe I would like it more. Maybe it would be a four star. But I don't think that this would ever be above a four star for me, just because I think the concept of it isn't as interesting to me personally. Like, time loops aren't really my, like, I think that they're interesting, but I wouldn't, like, I'm not as interested in a time loop as I am other things, I guess.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think it's like what I was kind of saying, where, like, it kind of just does whatever it does, what it's trying to do, like, basically the best that it can do. Like, I don't think that they made, like, any big missteps in the story. So it's like, either you're going to, you like the idea of the story or you don't. But it's not, I don't think there's ever a thing where it's like, man, this is a real bad casting choice, or this dialogue was really terrible. Like, I think it's like, it's a very well-crafted movie. And so the only reason that people are going to like or dislike is, like, it will come down to the concept of it.
I think also, like, I get weird about, like relationships and time loops, because obviously one person has more information than the other person has. Like, this is something that I didn't like about, like, Palm Springs either, which is obviously, like, a more recent rom-com time loop movie, where, like, and maybe it's kind of a little more addressed in that one, where I think he, like, had slept with her at one point and she, like, was forming a relationship. Like, I don't remember if that was true, but I feel like that happened, where he, like, had slept with
that
her.
That movie feels like so long ago at this point.
it was long ago. But then she was like, there was, like, a scene that was like, did you sleep with me? And like, he had slept with her at some point. And I feel like there's just, like, this kind of gray area of ethicality when it comes to time loops, of, like, how fair is it really that one person has spent 40 years getting to know this person and everything about their life, and then the person, like, finally comes around and is like, oh, okay, maybe I like this guy. But for them, it's only one day. And so I feel like it's handled well in this movie for the most part. Like, I don't,
yeah, because they don't,
like,
sleep together,
they don't sleep together, which I think is obviously a W in terms of of this, because I just feel like that's crossing the line of ethicality.
Well, and also,
in my
think all of the things, like, I've heard him trying to get to know her better weren't the things that actually ended up, like, working as well.
Yes,
you know?
And I think that,
like, it wasn't what made her like him or, like, end up, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, it was, like, just him being.
But it was him spending 40 years bettering himself at the same time.
He had a long time.
I think in this
imagine needing 40 years to become a good, better person. That's a tough time for him.
I think in this one is more, like, ambiguous, you know, like, it doesn't cross as many lines. But I do think in my mind, and, like, it's a movie and it's silly and whatever, it's a time loop, so it's not realistic anyway. But in my brain, when I watch it, I'm like, is this really ethical? Are we here, like, having the best moral practices? So, like, my brain just thinks that. And so I think that kind of also puts some kind of blocker for me. But I don't know how you would write. I feel like you can't write a time loop romance without it.
Yeah, so... and I feel like you can't write a time loop movie really without some kind of, I don't know. Like, I feel like it just, all the time loop movies have a romance thing, so there must be, like, something in the writing when people are like, we need this.
Yeah, I think that's just a, like, that's just a me thing when it comes to time loops, though. I just feel like they're not, I don't know, they're in this weird gray area of, of life and understanding and all that. But, I mean, I think that either way, this does it well.
They do, they give the least, it does, like, the there's the least amount of things that could be wrong with it, but it's still the core idea, but it's, like, I don't know. It's the least amount, like, it's the least amount of things that they could have issues with.
Yeah.
And I do think it being a little bit more of, like, a, like a fable kind of thing, like, it is told very lightly, so I think that also helps a little bit more, where it's not, like, such a down-to-earth romantic comedy either.
Yeah, like, and obviously you can, more... like, take into account that by the end, you know, 40 years later... he has become more, like, altruistic, so everything that he's doing is for the betterment of the other people in the town, like, when he's saving the people, and
yeah.
Maybe some of that comes from him getting the gratitude, who knows, I'm not one to say, but it does seem like, there is good that comes out of it, so I think that there is, like, a benefit in the end, that it's, so it's not all completely, like, morally gray, like I said, like, there are things that are good, I think. That come out
well,
of the time
loop. Well, it wasn't like the romantic element that broke the time loop either, which I think is important, you know. Like he, so I thought it was just like his own personal like
journey.
It was a heart issue. All right.
Yes. Once his heart. what is it? The Grinch grew two sizes.
His grew three sizes, amount of sizes that day. It all went better.
Yeah.
Is Phil Connors really the Grinch of Groundhog Day? Is he the Groundhog
Day
Grinch?
I think he was at the beginning. It was very...
this is really just kind of the Grinch.
Grinchian of him to... I did like when he was like totally having a breakdown though. Like I thought that... because that's
Breakdowns are always so funny.
That would 100% be me. I would be having a breakdown. I would never get out of the time loop. That's my problem with it.
But I feel like you would vibe a little bit. I feel like... because you would just
Would not care. I would care, but I also think it would be like I would not do the things he did. Like I would leave the town. I would.
But you can't leave the town for. You can only go so far, though, right? Like yeah. So you could go to like the city in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Like, right. Yeah, I would do that. Yeah, you could go to like go to Pittsburgh or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely rob the bank. I think that would be fun.
A must. Even if you get arrested, then it's done the next day, right? Yeah. So you can try multiple times.
Yeah,
really.
And whatever part of the heist doesn't work, you can
you
make it work
make
the next
adjustments.
Day.
Yeah, make the adjustments needed.
I would read a lot of books probably because I'd have more time to read all the books that I would like to read in my life.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You would probably do a lot of book stuff. Though... if you were doing fan fiction, you couldn't write do any like ongoing. It would only have to
no,
be one.
That would
finished.
Be horrible.
So
you could
that's the only thing.
Search AO3 for complete works only, and then like by the time you get through all 5,000 work. I mean, the good thing is most of my fandoms have a lot of work, so it would be fine. But like eventually, I would run out. I would be like,
yes, you would eventually. Well, there's got to be a bookstore in town. You could get some books.
Yeah, I could read a lot of books.
The only problem is, like, you'd have to get the same book every day. Like, you'd always have to go to the bookstore and buy the book if you bought a book.
That's a good point.
That's a bummer.
Let's see. I like the idea of learning a language.
Okay.
Or, like, an instrument. I think that is a fun way to do it.
I definitely would do that diner thing at least once, just so I could see, like, their reaction.
Yes.
Because I think it would be funny... to like just pretend like I knew everything, like that
yeah,
would be
like
a
I like the idea
time.
of pranking people too, like with it. I don't really know how like that would like in what context, but I like the idea of like I don't know acting like I'm a psychic or something, and then like saying something and being like, wait, what? Like I don't know, like just kind of spooking people would be fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think There's a lot of angles you could play, and you could just go through all the different. I definitely wouldn't try to better myself towards the end, unless because I don't want to. I would want to do everything I could before I got out of the time loop.
I think the time loop would make me a worse person. I feel like whoever you are before you go into the time loop, it does
you become
the
opposite
to the extreme. Yes. Because I just feel like I would become so, like, disillusioned with life and, like, being like, wow, I'm a god. I get to just, like, live forever doing whatever I want every single day. I would probably get sick of it at some point, but I also think that it would make me more, like, bitter.
I feel like I would last longer than 40 years, though. Like, I could... I feel like it would take me longer than 40 years to get, like,
I wouldn't get out. I know that I wouldn't... Well, I mean, he did kill himself, so, like, you can't kill yourself in the time loop.
No, that's what that's what I was saying. Like, it would take me longer to get to that point.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, which was probably, like, 20 years in. Like, it would take me a bit longer to get to, like,
yeah, I think it would me, too. I don't think I would ever get out of the time loop. I think I would be stuck there forever, honestly.
Maybe that should be our question of the week. Like, what would you do if you were stuck in a time loop?
Yeah, that's good. I could build a lot of Lego sets.
Yes, I think it's Legos. You go, they got probably got a toy store there, though, but you'd have to build it every in the day. You couldn't.
Yeah, I could build it in a day because my main problem with Legos is like spending the money on them. And so, like, right. I would build a lot of Lego sets if I could and didn't have to spend the money. But this way, it wouldn't matter because I have unlimited money.
I'd beat like every video game that I've ever wanted to play, you know.
You'd have to beat them in one day, though. So it'd have to be one that
you could
play.
Oh, the save states.
Yeah, like, you'd have to be one you could play the complete story in 24 hours, or from whenever you wake up. Because I guess you're stuck waking up at 6 a.m. because that's when the alarm goes off. So you have 6 a.m. to 12 a.m. So you already have lost 6 hours of the day.
Not 12 a.m., though, because he doesn't... they've stayed up to 12. So it's, like, roughly 12. So, yeah, that's true. Okay, I would probably then... watch movies more then, because that's something you can complete easier in a day.
You would never be able to log them on Letterboxd though. You'd log them for the day.
I would re-log
you'd
every
have to
day,
keep,
like,
and you couldn't keep like a physical log either because the physical log would disappear.
Oh man, so I couldn't write a book either. You can't write a book.
Yeah,
you
would have to mentally.
Oh man,
you'd have to mentally that's remember tough. every movie you watched, which I could not do.
I definitely couldn't. I'd have to, like, come up with a new
I guess the
to
way to do it would be, like, go, like...
Alphabetically
through a list, and then you know where you left off in the list.
Exactly. That's what you gotta do. Okay, let us know what you would do, then, if you were stuck in a time loop. I think that'd be a fun one. The video game thing is rough, though. Or, like, just... There's a lot of things you think, but then you're like, wait, we would reset the next day.
Yeah.
So it's like, anything, any work you do has to stay mental. Like, if it's a continuous thing. Unless, like, reading, because you just know where you left off. Or movies.
I wonder if like, your body would stay the same, right? So, like, you couldn't get, like, in shape. You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't go... No. Like, if you ran every day, your body would still always be not in shape. Which
I would assume so.
Not as fun for me.
So, I definitely wouldn't work out. Like, why would I work out?
Yeah,
like,
no, I mean, you wouldn't have to, but...
Because if you die, you just wake up again. That's the thing, though. Do you ever feel rested? Did he ever feel like he ever slept? Or was he, like, just constantly waking up? Like, did he sleep? That was the... Because if I didn't sleep, that would make it really rough. Like, if I never felt like I was actually sleeping.
I mean, do you think you could take a nap during the day? Or would that reset the time loop?
Don't know. I didn't see him take a nap in the movie, so... I don't think it would. If he woke up during the same day, I think he would be fine. I'm sure there are some days he just stayed in bed all day. Then those were all the days they didn't show us. We got on a long tangent here.
Sorry.
I did want to mention that I do really like this part of how in the movie, though, they did it. They don't explain how he got stuck in the time loop.
Yeah, I think it makes it more fun.
That really, because I think if there was any stupid, like, they said that one idea that a studio had was like, maybe there's a mad scientist and an experiment goes wrong. But, like, I just think it would have been way too much. And then you invite, like, people talking about, like, plot holes, and you invite all of that. Without that, it's just like, just enjoy the ride,
well,
man.
Because when this is a plot that happens more often than you would think in, like, Christmas movies.
True.
And in those, it's always like a Santa figure that is like starting the time loop.
Classic Santa.
Like 12 Dates of Christmas, great movie. That's where the one, I made you watch that one at one point. That's the one where she's like, it's like she relives 12 Days of Christmas, but like she gets sprayed with the perfume and the elf lady's like, I spritzed you and you passed out. But yeah, it's
great movie.
But it is outside force that causes the time loop.
Right, but at least in Santa, like that's still like there is no plot holes with Santa. Santa is a plot hole free device in a movie.
Yes.
But I do like how it just like there's no explanation for why, and there's not really an explanation for why it stops either. Like there is, but it's not like it wastes time trying to justify why it's doing certain things, which I think makes it feel a lot more just like timeless, in my opinion. So yeah, question of the week. What would you do if you were stuck in a time loop? Answer that on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Spotify, anywhere you want of those options. Everything's in the description for you there. Our next episode, apparently, we'll see. I think no matter what, we are doing a We've Never Seen Magic Mike 1 and 2. Like, that's a yes for sure.
Yeah.
You just are not sure if you're going to get the third one near you.
Yeah. Screening. Like, they're getting it at the Alamo, but it's like one screening a day, and it's like an 8 p.m. screening, and I'm going to have Charlie, so I just don't know if it's going to work. But yeah, they're not playing it at any AMC near me. And I was like, bruh.
That's tough. That's like, so weird. It just seems weird. I'm getting it at my Regal, which like, is like,
I could understand if it was a simultaneous streaming release, if that would make it less wide release. But yeah, as of now, we're not getting it. So I don't know. But
wild. But for sure, we'll do the We've Never Seen the first two. And then maybe if I've seen it, I'll just like share quick thoughts on the third one.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be good. Talking about
Magic Mike in some form.
In some way, yes. Magic Mike will make an appearance. Magic Mike will return. Like the Avengers thing.
Yes.
Follow us on social media, I guess. That's really the only other thing we haven't said, right?
Yeah.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, please.
La, la, la.
If a 5-star review, yep. And then share with your friends. Bye. I don't know who that was, but I guess you could just listen to that guy and he will. He has some great advice.
Yeah.
Anything until Magic Mike time next week?
No, I don't have anything else.
All right. Thanks for listening. And until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla.
And we're
your second-hand
film critics. Yeah, I said Phil critics. Like,
Phil critics.
Phil Connors.
Phil the Groundhog. Punxsutawney Phil.